So we begin again by finding a nice and comfortable posture. Straight and upright back. In a relaxed body. Coming back to take the essence again. Working on the mind. Fully coming into contact with our body, letting our awareness spread throughout the body. Becoming highly aware of whatever arises throughout this body. Being totally present, alert with that. Being totally at ease with the present moment right now, with all our attention. Okay, check your mind for a moment and see if you hold any resistance in the mind. You can check the mind that is needy, the mind that squeezes ourselves. This is a very narrow mind. In meditation, we try to widen this mind. Develop this mind, expand it, to become aware how things exist in the moment right now. So try to release this resistance, because every resistance you hold in the mind will also create resistance in the body. So let go of tightness and tension, releasing and relaxing the body more and more deeply with every heartbeat. And as an intention, we can work with the thought that this meditation, so meditation in general, but especially this meditation, is not for me, but it is for others. Meditating, for example, to be able to live in this world, living our life with causing less harm, causing less harm to others, wishing to achieve a state of mind where we cause no harm to others at all. So to cause, have no state of harmfulness in our mind at all. No harm to anyone, under any circumstance, at any time. And to know and understand that this is possible, that we can reach such a state of awareness. If we keep working on our mind diligently and persistently, using the right methods in a complete way, because this is a real state of happiness, having a mind that has not a single little bit of harm towards anyone at any time. Not to ourselves and not to others. That is peace. That's true inner peace. That's the best thing we can develop in this life. And with this wish, you know, with this motivation as a ground, as our main basis, why we meditate now. This wish giving us the power, giving us energy, we move our attention to our breathing. Observing the movement of the breath in the area of our nostrils. Following the subtle sensations, tactile sensations as they arise, breathing in a natural, unforced rhythm, being totally at ease and highly aware in the area of our nostrils. holding this without distraction. Coming back again and again, immediately, holding the sensations of the breath in our mind, single-pointedly. Resting with that, and with nothing else. Remembering that meditation doesn't happen through pressure, not through forcing ourselves to be with the breath, but instead to increase our interest in the breath, observing the sensations with a sense of being curious, noticing how every breath is different from the one before that, how there is constant change, in this way of finding delight in disciplining the mind, to stay fully focused with our meditation object. And you know, when thoughts arise, they arise, but we do not engage in them with nothing whatsoever. That doesn't mean we push them away, not wanting them to arise, because they'll arise anyway. But we just let them be, not giving them any attention, not giving them any energy, finding joy in having the freedom of these thoughts by staying with the sensations of the breath at the entrance of your nostrils. Giving yourself some time to readjust your position. Sometimes the mind can feel like a room full of people all of them talking at the same time. And we are dying to hear it all, wanting to follow it all. But you know, in this practice, we give ourselves permission to let them talk. And we ourselves, we go inwards and work for liberation of this mindless chatter. Working for peace in ourselves. So reconnect for a moment.
No.
Settling your mind in a state of stillness. So if you want to generate this motivation of really, genuinely wanting to benefit others with our practice, dedicating our spiritual practice to others' well-being, wanting to become enlightened in order to be of best possible benefit to other beings, we first have to develop this attitude that sees other beings as equal. So why is every being equal? It is because every single sentient being has a mind. Regardless of being an animal, being an insect, an elephant, or a fish, regardless of being a human being, or beings that we cannot see with our eyes, every single sentient being is the holder of our mind stream, having a mind. Just as we do. This in turn means that when every being has a mind that is by nature clear, then every single sentient being has the potential to develop this mind to its fullest potential. That's what we call Buddha nature. Every being having a mind has a possibility to become a Buddha. Become fully enlightened. So there's not one living being that does not have this potential. It's very important to understand that, to know this. It's just that they have performed different actions that propelled them to live a life in a different form than we do right now. And they have to go through the existence they experience right now, experience the karma they created. But just because beings have other bodies than we do, and different circumstances to experience than we do, does not mean that they are inferior to us at all. It's just a different karma they have to go through right now. But their basic nature of their mind is the same. We just have the karma to be human right now. That's all. So the foundation is to develop an attitude of equanimity towards other sentient beings. In our case, especially towards other human beings. And in this practice that we're going to do, we start trying to free our mind from attachment to friends, aversion towards enemies, and indifference towards strangers. So I invite you to visualize three people in the space in front of you. The first person being somebody that you like, someone you really like to be with, that you care for very much. Think of a specific person that you hold very dear. The second person is somebody that you find disagreeable and feel some sense of aversion towards. Choose one specific person that you find difficult to get along with. And then the third person is somebody that you do not know, that you don't care about too much, feel indifferent towards. Maybe someone in this room that you don't know. Picture this third person in front of you as well. Then go back to the first person, the one that you hold dear. And simply ask yourself the question, why am I holding this person so dear? Why am I attached to this person? And without judging your answers, you just listen what your mind tells you. Then bring your awareness to the person that you find a little bit disagreeable, that you have some kind of aversion towards. And simply ask yourself, why do I have so much anger or aversion towards this person? What makes this person so disagreeable to me? Why do I feel threatened by that person? And again, just listen to what your mind responds. And then finally, we bring our attention to the stranger, the person that we don't know. And we ask ourselves, what makes me so indifferent about this person? Listening to the answer your mind gives you. Then, looking back over the three answers that your mind gave, we will come to the conclusion that these discriminations were all made in terms of me. If someone is nice to me, supports me, and comforts me, having the same interest than I do, if I can trust them, then I consider this person a good person, developing some sense of closeness, or maybe attachment towards this person. If somebody interferes with my happiness, doesn't like what I do, talks behind my back, takes away what belongs to me, damages my property, then I consider this person a disagreeable person. Develop some anger towards this person and hold him or her distant, like an enemy. And then if I happen to have no relationship to somebody, then because they do not play a role in my life, they don't affect me, then I don't really care about them, feeling somehow indifferent. Since this person has nothing to do with me, so can you see that these three categories of friend, enemy, and stranger are a creation of your own mind? By filtering everything and everyone, how they relate to me. So even if we think we see people as they are, from their own side, that the way I see them is what they are. In actual fact, we see them totally subjectively. It's totally our own creation, what we see. You know, if someone shows their bad quality to me, I consider this person someone I do not like. But if this same person shows this bad quality to someone else that I also don't like, then I think this person is actually quite okay. Isn't it? So we are not really seeing the person, but just seeing what we want to see. So try to get a feel for this, how your own mind creates the friend, the enemy, and the stranger. And and how our emotions of attachment, aversion and indifference are not coming from the person, but coming from your own mind. And then by realizing this, we can let that go and try to develop some sense of equanimity towards all of them. Yeah. Try to open your heart towards them and see that all three of them are longing for the same thing, wanting to be satisfied and happy, and not wanting to be dissatisfied and unhappy, not even for 1 second, exactly like ourselves. We are totally equal, and the label we put on them is our own creation. You know, this labeling, these roles we put on them of friend, enemy, and stranger, they can change constantly. It takes so little to change the situation. Often only a short argument with a friend can become, it can change everything. Suddenly the friend that was our friend for all our life, if he says something that really hurts us, this can change everything, just like that. Just spend a short moment in reflecting how one person can be all three of these roles in a very short time. So then we can conclude in thinking about how important it is to train our mind in developing the attitude that sees also the world through their eyes. Trying to imagine how it feels to be in their shoes in order to get a better understanding of how others perceive things. developing a view that is more in accordance with how things actually are, and not the deluded way we see things through our self-cherishing mind. And dedicating this positive energy to develop this mind of equanimity, wanting to develop ourselves to be of benefit for our own happiness and also the happiness of everyone else. Dedicating in this way.